So welcome to another wonderful day at Jarnico Meditation Retreat Center. Something strange is happening. Very good. This is what happens when I leave just for a few hours. I only went to Nolabara to give a talk and everything falls apart. Never mind. This wonderful practice, as I told several of you who told me that there was no water. You don't need water. The Buddha said, if you keep your precepts and practice beautiful Dhamma, you become fragrant. It's a natural Chanel number 8. Right view, right vision. That is the way you keep fragrant. So you don't have to worry. Anyway, this water's back there now. And this is always things when you have a retreat or you go overseas or you go to work or you stay at home. There's always something which doesn't go according to plan. I was going to say it's things go wrong, but nothing goes wrong in life. It always goes according to cause and effect. In other words, it has to be. It went right. There was something right with the water system. There was no water. That happens. It's a time, instead of complaining, we can actually use patience and insight. There's no water. Didn't I tell you yesterday you only appreciate things when they disappear? Didn't I tell you about the simile of the tadpole and the frog? The tadpole doesn't know what water is when it's always there. But when the water vanishes, there's no more water there. Then you understand what water is and what showers are. You see, this was all done on purpose to emphasize the similes of the tadpole and the frog. Anicca, impermanence. Yes, water runs out. And that's always going to be the case. And even the smells of people. Maybe you thought, oh, just people really stank this morning. And I stank. There was just no water. No, it's all to do with perceptions. I taught you that. We've been taught to perceive these smells are nasty. You ask a dog or a fly, and they think, wow, these people are really fragrant this morning. Because dogs really love you when they smell. The more smell, the more attractive you are to flies. That's why you probably made many flies very happy today. I still remember this wonderful little simile that, yes, he was at Nolabara last night. One of the men always used to bring some flowers every Friday night to put, in Nolabara temple. And I remember that going in there one Friday afternoon, and I really thought I'd trodden in the dog poo. Because you could smell it. Because it was all through the Vihara. And so I looked at my shoes. No, I hadn't trodden any dog poo. And I checked all the other shoes there. There was no dog poo on them. I thought, they must have brought it into the house. And I looked on the carpet. It was clean. I thought, where the heck is this smell of dog poo coming from? And now what you usually do, use your nose and your mindful, see where it gets stronger and stronger. And I got it to its source. And it were these flowers. There's a certain type of flower in Western Australia which uses flies to pollinate it. And that's actually how it attracts, these flies who come in and pollinate these flowers. And it's this beautiful flower, yellow, very beautiful yellow, very well formed. But you went to smell it, and it was like smelling dog shit. That's what it was. And I never seen such a flower like that before. The flies think that's beautiful. Well, it actually did look very beautiful and thought it was fragrant. What it is your perceptions. A beautiful flower with a terrible smell. Or is it a terrible-looking flower with a beautiful smell? depends whether you're a fly or a human being. So that really starts to bend your perceptions of what's right and what's wrong. And you get insight from these experiences. Now you've got a choice in life. When something is difficult or a problem, you can complain and get upset and write letters to the management and ask for your money back and sue the Buddhist Society for not keeping the proper health standards. And you can get very upset and angry. And you can convert to being a Christian or an atheist because you've had enough. And you can, I don't care what you do. But that's not the right attitude, is it? Instead, as a Dharma practitioner, if somebody really wants to train themselves, whenever we have any difficulties, anything in life, number one, we never say it's gone wrong. If everything went perfectly, that would be wrong. Life always has challenges, always has things which are unexpected, always has things which discomforts us for a while. But that is right. It hasn't gone wrong, it's gone right. Because that is the nature of life. To give us difficulties and problems. So it reminds us of suffering. It reminds us of impermanence. It reminds us that even like you're a caretaker. I got an email this morning from Dania. She was up at 3 o'clock this morning trying to fix that water for you. And even though she was so diligent, she still couldn't do it. You can't control things. Everything is out of control. So you just have to let it go. As I say, go with the flow, but that didn't really make sense this morning. There was no flow. In other words, you just take it on board and make the best out of things. And if you understand what we mean there, you understand the great insights of life. You can't control this world. You can't control nature. You can't control the plumbing. You can't control your mind. You've been trying that all week, and you can't actually stop, you know, your mind from sort of flowing all this way and that way. This is one of the problems. When you realize that life is out of control. Oh, what bliss. I don't have to fight anymore. So instead of fighting the difficulties and problems in life, what do we learn how to do? Make peace. Be kind. Be gentle. So you make peace with the tap. You're kind to it and you're gentle. You can stroke that tap. There, nice tap. It's okay if you sometimes you don't have any water. I appreciate how difficult it must be with you. But don't go banging the tap, you stupid tap. You silly tap. I've seen people do that with computers. You stupid computer. Why? God. I tell you, it's not the computer's fault. It's your fault. It's not the caretaker's fault. It's your fault. So that way that we could not get angry at life. When we realize that we can't control the water system, we can't control the monks or the nuns, you can't control anything in life. Oh, what bliss, you let go. And this is what you learn in this retreat. These are the sorts of things you take home with you. Not the jhanas, not the nimittas, but the cause of those states. The ability to let go. The ability to not complain. The ability to be at peace with things. Sometimes they're unpleasant, sometimes they're blissful. But if you fight, if you try and hold on to the happy moments, and you try and get rid of the unhappy ones and try and control it so life is just so, then you don't understand the meaning of life. You never get anywhere with insight. Our job is to learn how to make peace, be kind, be gentle, no matter what is happening. And then you find amazing things occur. I was came back late last night, went to the toilet. My toilet sort of flushed. This morning when I got up, brushed teeth, had a shower, my shower worked. You know why? Because of kindness. You try it, it is amazing. I will never forget this story this German Anagarika told me. And when he told me, I checked, no, look, I want to use this story. Can I use the story? But first of all, are you lying? Are you exaggerating? He said, no, it's absolutely true. It happened. I think he was at university in Hamburg, and the first day on campus, he was walking in the campus. He passed the ATM machine. And as he passed the ATM machine, the ATM made a noise. The only word he could describe was like a gurgle. And being a good Buddhist, he thought that ATM was welcoming him onto campus. So he said hello back to the ATM machine. And from that time on, he developed a relationship with that ATM machine. He'd always give it loving kindness when he went past, because he was a good meditator. Now may all the ATM machines be happy and well, especially you. May people never bang on the machine when they find out they've got no money in the bank. May they never swear at you, just like general kindness. Now, of course, people think that that's just being eccentric, you know, sort of spreading loving kindness to a thing, to a machine. But he said one day he was having his lunch on a bench, you know, within sound and sight of that ATM machine. He'd been having his lunch for about 1/4 hour. No one had been close to that ATM machine. And then he heard the gurgle again, the same sound which greeted him onto campus. And then he looked at the machine and saw a 20-euro note come out. And he thought, where did that come from? There's been no one close to this machine for at least 15 or 20 minutes. So he walked up to that machine, took out the 20-euro note, waved it around, does this belong to anybody? No one answered, so he put it in his pocket. He realized, if you're kind to ATM machines, they're kind back to you. So if ever you're short of cash, find an ATM, nice ATM machine. I really love you, ATM. No one, they don't treat you fairly. They just push all these buttons and they swear at you, but I think you're a very beautiful ATM machine. I really wish you long life in this little place here. And may the money never run out. And may you always be happy and well, have lots of electricity. Come on, cough up. It's amazing what sort of kindness can do. And a few other people have told me stories very similar to that. They actually work. I forget the story. Somebody in Perth told me about, oh, it was their sort of car had broken down. They couldn't sort of get, you know, the RAC, the people who repair the cars, to come. And they were stuck in the middle of nowhere and no one could get the thing to work. And just somebody just started stroking the engine. Just stroking it. There, never mind. And they turned on the ignition and it worked. Enough to get back home. They couldn't believe it. Never underestimate the power of kindness. So I had a shower this morning. I know how to do it. Nice. Okay, I'll get some water just for you. And that's how I meditate with my mind as well. Oh, I'm really tired. I've been late coming back last night. Oh, I just can't get in a minute. Come on, nice mind. I know you're tired. I know you had a late night. And the mind said, okay, I jump up. Here we go. Never underestimate that power of kindness and gentleness. It really works. Complaining and getting angry just stuffs you up. And it means nothing ever flows through your taps. is because of anger and ill will, the toilets get blocked in your brain. In other words, that's what happens. You know, the blockage of the toilet in your brain means that something happened in the past and it sticks there and it doesn't go down the hole, it doesn't flush away. You know, have you ever had a toilet which has been blocked? You know, you go to the toilet and it just doesn't go down. It stinks, doesn't it? It's disgusting. And it's, you know, smell first of all in the toilet and then in the whole rooms outside the toilet. It's disgusting when the toilet doesn't flow. And that's exactly what happens when your mind doesn't flow. Somebody said something this morning and it will not go down the hole and disappear. It sticks in your mind. Why did they do this? Why did they say that? Why did they do this? And some people are keeping stuff in their toilet bowl from years ago. No wonder your brain stinks. And so, when I talked about brainwashing, this is actually how it does. It's more like brain flushing than brainwashing. In other words, you can flush all this stuff out of the way. So you totally let go and be free. And then your bathroom will be fragrant. And then your mind will be fragrant. It's a much pleasant place to live in a fragrant bathroom than a stinky one. In other words, you totally let go of the past. This is one of the troubles at this day on the retreat. At this day in the retreat, people are just so worried about all the time you've wasted over the last 8 days. Oh, the last day already, I've got nowhere. Oh, what am I going to do? That's thinking of the past. As I said, you don't need to worry. In the past, those are the days you did the work. And you all know the last day of the week, and this is like the last day of the retreat, that's when you get the paycheck. The paycheck is in the mail. So don't be too busy today that you're not there when the postman delivers the paycheck. If you're busy packing your bags, you don't notice the postman come in the present moment to give you the check. And if you're not at home, he just goes away and gives it to somebody else. So your job today is to be at home, present, waiting in this moment for the postman to come and give you your paycheck. In order to do that, please don't sacrifice today. Don't think the retreat is over. Now is the time to actually to pack my bags, just to clean up all my stuff and do it the last minute. I know what Bianca said earlier, but please. You come here to meditate most of all. Please clean your mind. Let go of the past. Enjoy every moment if you want to sort of get the most out of this retreat. And if you can do that, you'll be here when the postman comes, because this is what this retreat is teaching you. So when people say, well, yeah, I know, but in a few hours it'll all be over and then I have to go home. No, you are home. Your home is this present moment. And wherever you happen to be in this world, Singapore, in Colombo, in sort of Sydney, wherever you are in this world, that is your home. It's very strange being Ajahn Brahm. Because sometimes I've gone to many places and I've got so many friends, so many people who care for me and I care for them, that I don't know where my home is anymore on this planet. Because it's true that I recently went back for my mother's funeral to London. And that's the place I grew up. That's the place which I can recognize. And so as soon as the plane starts to come in to land on Heathrow, I look through the window and there are all my memories in that great city below. And I can recognize so many buildings and so many streets with so many experiences. I feel I'm coming home. But then the flight, I usually go via Singapore. And as soon as you start to descend into Changi Airport and you see all those great buildings and that stupid wheel. What would you put that thing there for? That would be crazy. And you see that and you think, oh, just all these wonderful experiences and times I've had with the Buddhist Fellowship in Singapore. And all the people waiting to greet me, and I think, ah, I'm coming home. And then sometimes, like the end of this month, going to Kuala Lumpur. And as soon as you land there and go on that train from the international terminal to where you do the immigration, you go through there and you see your friends. Ah, I'm back home again. You know, that happened once. I was at some conference, I think it was in Vietnam. And actually, I was supposed to be representing the Australian delegation, but I think they got it wrong and they put me in the Singapore delegation. And then, when I was at the steps, all the Malaysians had the big Malaysian flag out, the delegation from Malaysia. They said, Ajahn Brahm, come in here. I said, but no, I'm not actually part of this delegation. It doesn't matter, come in here, you're one of us. So I was an Australian monk representing Singapore, but having my picture taken with the Malaysian delegation in front of the big flag. And then you come to Australia and you land in Perth in a beautiful clean air. Oh, I'm home again. I'm very confused. Incredibly, I don't know where my home is. Because every place I go, where there are kind, loving people, that's my home. And so my real home is this moment, where I am right now. So please, never leave home. Your body may be taken to many different cities in the world. You may be going on great journeys and adventures and some painful ones as well. But remember, your real home is wherever you happen to be. And if in this moment you make peace, be kind, be gentle, you'll always be building a beautiful home. A very loving home, a peaceful home, a gentle home. Isn't that the type of place that you want to live in? You all know that a home is not the walls and the roof. That's why I said this even yesterday to the president. I went to Nolomara, had a discussion with him about some things. I said, look, this retreat center is not the buildings. It never will be. The retreat center is the people who come here and meditate here. Bodhidharma Monastery, Dharmasala, Nuns Monastery, it's not the buildings, it never will be. You can have incredibly beautiful buildings or buildings which are falling apart. It doesn't really matter so much. What really matters is the people who live there and practice there and visit there. That's what the monastery is. People are more important than things. So wherever you are in this world, if you make peace, if you're kind and gentle, you're making a beautiful home. The people who are in there, you, that's what makes a home. The homemakers are not the architects, the bricklayers and the builders. The homemakers are the people. That's you. So if wherever you go in this world, you're someone who knows how to make a home, make peace with things. When things go wrong, you know my attitude. You've known me such a long time. You see, if you haven't seen me before, you've seen me over the last 9 days. You get to know that when things go wrong, I feel it's a great joke. The funniest jokes in the whole world are when people make big mistakes. What was that joke I told yesterday? This is an old joke. I told a few jokes down at Nolomara last night about... Oh, what was it? I think this Walter, he's 82 years of age. 82 years of age, he went to a checkup with the doctor. And a couple of days later, the doctor saw him with this beautiful young girl on his arm and smiling all over his face. And he said to him, so what are you doing? He said, I'm just doing what you told me, doctor. Just, you told me that I've got to get a hot mama and I've got to be cheerful. And the doctor said, that's not what I told you. I said, you've got a heart murmur. And you've got to be careful. So you got a hot mama instead. So he made a mistake, but it's funny. That's why... when people make mistakes in life, when things go wrong, that's where all humour comes from. That's where life becomes funny. And it's great because that means we don't have to be afraid of mistakes. So please know that in life as well. Have you been perfect on this retreat? Have you lived up to all your expectations? Have you been living in jhana every moment for the last 9 days? Or even 9 hours? 9 minutes? 9 seconds? It does not matter. What really matters is not what you achieve. Remember, that's what we said at the beginning, is how much you can let go. How much of control you can let go of. How much of criticism and judging. And how you can learn in its place to have this beautiful sense of peace, kindness, gentleness, and just joy, lightheartedness. To laugh at yourself and laugh at life. So when things go wrong, they haven't gone wrong, they've gone right again. It's a beautiful opportunity to smile at life. And if you learn how to smile at life, you smile and you learn from the silly mistakes of life, then you've got some insight. And this retreat has been very powerful. And sometimes people don't realize just how powerful these retreats are. But there's still some people who think, oh, geez, I've wasted my time, I've got nowhere, I've been coming for such a long time. Yeah, you might not realize the results, but other people do. It's usually the case, it's strange but true, that when you go home, wherever that home happens to be, I'm talking about the physical home, you're already home in the present moment, when you go back to the loved ones you live with, they notice a change. I think in the last retreat last year, one of the women who was working in Sydney, who had to beg her boss to give her the time off. Yeah, she's allowed off for Easter, but they wanted her to come back, you know, on Tuesday morning. But she begged him, cajoled him, and eventually got the whole week off. And when she came back to work, she wrote to me afterwards and said, my boss told me to ask you, whatever I've given, no, this girl, can you please send some to the boss as well? He thought I'd given her some sort of ecstasy tablets or some drug because the worker came back so happy, so joyful. And the boss had never seen that before, so he asked her to tell me, look, whatever you gave, you know, my secretary, please send it on to me too. As if it was some pill which actually made you happy. It wasn't the pill, it wasn't the drugs or the chemicals. It was the insight which she learned. So she never thought that she'd made so much progress. But you do. And you only realize it when you go outside. And be careful this afternoon, especially any of you who are driving. You go outside and think, goodness, this is craziness. All this traffic, people running around backwards and forwards. And that's only countryside West Australia. Wait till you get to the city. Wait till you get in Singapore. Wait till you get to Sydney. That's madness there. But you never really noticed that until you came here and know what sanity truly was. Just getting up in the morning, not because you have to, just because you've rested. Being able to have a nice quiet breakfast with no radio or TV blaring, with no people asking you, now have you seen my shoes, darling? With no kids having to be, you know, washed and cleaned and sent to school. Perfectly happy just to have a lovely breakfast which you can take out and just see, eat your breakfast and just watch the beautiful forest in the early morning. With nobody, no sounds of cars, no aircraft, no noise. And just having a nice quiet morning, listening to a funny monk tell jokes and sometimes inspiring things as well. And just having a nice rest and just having a lovely lunch and just even be able to have a rest if you want to, or go for a walk and just meditate, you know, long or short, however you want. Isn't this sanity? And in the evening, you wrap up the evening with a few jokes and funny stories. Oh, this is paradise. Then you find that just the lifestyle, more than anything else which I teach, more than the words, is the gestures. More than even the gestures is the lifestyle of being on a retreat. Kindness, gentleness, smiles, silence. How beautiful this is, just to be peaceful. Not to be striving, not to be trying to get some goals, but literally to come home again. Once you've touched that home and realize what I'm talking about, the real home inside, then you find wherever you go in this world, on retreat, out of retreat, in an aircraft, waiting to take off, in the traffic in Singapore trying to get to work, in the waiting room of the hospital waiting for your biopsy results, or whatever it is in your life which for others would be stressful. You learn here how to come home. Just to be at peace. Just to be kind, be gentle with what's happening right now. And just to enjoy. And just like you make fun of the discomfort of no water and no showers. There's no end to what you can make fun of. What was that Dr. K. Sridharmananda, when he was diagnosed as terminal cancer, and the doctor told him, there's no hope, you're going to die, the cancer is terminal. He laughed. He burst out laughing. And that was, the doctor told me, the only person he's ever seen who started laughing when they were told they were going to die. Now that's what you can do as well. If you go home and you find out that your wife has run off with your best friend and she's filed divorce papers, just laugh. Oh, that's so funny. Why not? It's much better than getting angry and upset. If you find out you got the sack and your boss doesn't want you anymore. Why not? You got the sack anyway. You know, that really pisses them off if you laugh. What are you doing that for? What do you mean, that's something? What haven't you told me? You really upset him. Well, you know, if you rehire me, I might tell you my secret. Oh, okay.
I did that a couple of months ago.
You did? Yep. What happened?
You got. I have a job that I can appreciate much more.
There we go. You see, I was right after all. This guy got the sack recently, and he laughed when the boss sacked him. He's really appreciated his life ever since. You see, it's a good thing when these things happen. But if you go back and the boss says, oh, you're such a good worker, I'll give you a promotion, that's the time to start crying. Oh, no, what did you do that for? I didn't really mean to hurt. Yeah, in other words, the other thing I hope you've learned here is to be playful. Because sometimes people get a bit, I think the word is discombobulated. It's a beautiful word. I'm not quite sure what it means. It's a great word. Discombobulated. I mean, the whole word, you don't know what it means, so it sort of really turns you upside down. And exactly that's what the word means. Discombobulating means when you have this idea of a monk being serious, and you come across these monks who lose his life just telling jokes all the time, some naughty jokes as well. But there's a point to that as well. It's my nature, I told you. I can't stop it. I can't control it. I'm out of control, I admit that. But what I do restrain, I'm a very restrained monk. I restrain my tendency to want to control things. I restrain my guilt so I don't feel guilty. I restrain this tendency to go and take up the past. No, I've had it with the past. I let it go. I restrain my tendency to want to plan the future. I restrain the tendency to always find fault with things. I let go of the things which are really important to let go of. One of those things is not joy. Joy is important to the path. It always was, even in traditional Buddhism. So sometimes people who say that, no, you're not being a traditional Buddhist. Traditional Buddhists, the monks are supposed to sit there perfect and be severe and tell you off. Don't point your feet towards the monk. Don't scratch your head. You should be dressed. Look, open your eyes. Don't sit like that. You know, there are some monks and nuns like that. And you know, is that really the teaching? If it was, Buddhism would never have grown in the world. It's obviously there was something about those early monks in the time of the Buddha which was incredibly attractive. To start from nothing into one of the major world religions. And of course you understand what that was. This beautiful understanding and insight which gives you so much peace and joy, which understands humans and understands oneself enough to let it all go and to have fun with life. There's nothing going wrong. It's just life doing its thing, that's all. And you can cry or you can laugh. You can frown or you can smile. And I and many of those other monks, like the Buddha, chose to laugh and smile. Why not? It gives you more energy. It gives you more peace. It gives you more power. It gives you more wisdom. It gives you more stillness. This was a natural tendency for me, but obviously from previous lives. But when you actually started reading and say, yes, the Buddha said that over and over again. Joy and happiness is the path. This is a path without groaning, without struggle. A path of peace, of gentleness, of kindness, of joy. Happiness upon happiness upon happiness. It's weird, because I had to find out myself. All my friends said, if you just get what you want in life, forget about other people, they don't count, then you'll be rich and happy. No winners are grinners. No losers are boozers. I made that one up, by the way. You know, a boozer is someone who drinks too much. They always said winners and grinners, but what about losers? Losers are boozers. You know what a boozer is? Well, that's an English word, like someone who drinks too much. Anyway, that didn't work very well, but I thought it might. Whatever it was. That's the sort of thing I was told. If you want something, get it. Have your goals. And don't let anybody stand in your way. But that never made sense to me, even in meditation. Don't let any defilement stand in your way. You just sit there. Pain, difficulty, heat, cold. No, don't let anyone stand in. Go there and get it. Set your goals. And you can do it. Meditate for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Just go for it. That was very much worldly stuff. And you know, I think, from this retreat, you may have gone on other retreats, that is not the way. It doesn't smell like the way. It just doesn't taste like the way. It's just obviously there's something wrong with that. It's one of the reasons why whenever I have any doubts about what is the right way, what is the wrong way, I always actually go to the heart. Take the attention away from all this thinking. Thinking just confuses you. Just go to the feeling. Does this feel right? Does this feel peaceful? And I taught that to many of you. Sometimes you've got into a deep state of meditation, not sure whether, was that sleepiness? Or was I really peaceful? How do I know the difference? If you think about it, sometimes you can't tell the difference at first. If you feel it, no, that wasn't sleep. That was peaceful, that was beautiful. That's not the same as sleep. You can feel it. I developed a simile. Again, you had to get similes from daily life. There was one occasion when I was a student. I used to spend a lot of my vacations up in the mountains of Scotland. Once because I couldn't afford to go anywhere else. And I liked the peace. Just take a tent and just camp out by yourself in the mountains in summer. It's a beautiful part of the world. So I go up there just having some nice time, being still, being peaceful, meditating up in the mountains during the vacation periods. And I remember just once I was staying at a hostel to get a shower. And there's only two or three people there. And the warden of the hostel just invited me, do you want to go for a walk up the mountains? And I said, yeah, sure. So we went up to one of these nice little mountains, not that high, but, you know, maybe 2 or 3, 4 hour hike. And when he got to the top, it had a lovely view there. It was a beautiful sunny day. And so I said, how about going to the next mountain? You know, which was you can just see, because you know, I was having a good time. He said, no, I've had it enough now. I'm going to go back to the hostel. I'll see you this evening. So I went alone to the next mountain. No, with the warden who lived in the area, with his consent. And by the time I got to the top of that other mountain, the clouds had descended incredibly quickly. And I was engulfed in mist and totally lost. And I realized just how dangerous those mountains can be. Because the mist comes down much faster than you could ever imagine. And when is it down, you can't see which way to go. And you always think that you have a good sense of direction. Now I thought that I knew the way I came, so I'd retrace my steps. And as I kept on walking, I was incredibly lucky because just maybe that distance in front of me, I could see a gap in the clouds. There was a vertical cliff going, I don't know how many meters down, 100 meters, 200 meters down. If I had one more step and I'd have been dead. And I stopped in time. I thought, my goodness, this is dangerous. I'm totally lost and there's these very dangerous cliffs around. And later on, you know, you could check on the map where that cliff was. And I'd gone in 100% the opposite direction that I thought I was going in. And that really sort of scared me. You really think you've got a sense of direction, but you haven't in the mist. So I sat down and think, what should I do? Should I just sit up here and wait? But if you wait, those mists can last for days. Do you know, will someone come and rescue me? But then, you know, you've got this great idea. In these mountains, there's always little rivulets, little mountain streams. I'll find a stream and follow it down. Because my science said water always flows downhill. Except in Jhana Grove where it doesn't flow at all. So I decided to find a stream and just follow it. And that's what I did, just follow a stream and it went down, 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 twisting and turning until it got below the clouds. And then I could see where I was and get my directions and find my way back to the hostel. I've used that as a simile for how to meditate. Until you really get into the deep meditation, you're not quite sure which way you're going. Now, should I try a bit more, or should I sort of let go a bit more? Which way to get down out of the mist of the hindrances which stop me seeing clearly? And so what you do, water goes down. If it really is meditation, it means an increase of peace and happiness and relaxation, sense of freedom. So if when you're meditating, you find, yes, you're getting a little bit more peaceful, a little bit more kind, a little bit more sense of freedom and relaxation, you're going in the right direction. You can't see exactly where, but you know it's going in the right direction. You feel that. And that is the greatest indicator of how to meditate. If you're getting more tense, you're going the wrong direction. That's dangerous. You may step over a cliff. If you're getting more upset and angry, it's the wrong direction. Turn around and try something else. But if you're getting kinder, gentler, more peaceful, it's the right direction. Carry on. And you soon come below the mist and see exactly where you should be going. So that's a simile of the mist and how to find your direction. And these are the things you'll do when you leave here. You're already home, as I say. Please, any place you are, make it your home. When those of you who travel overseas this afternoon or tomorrow and you're sitting in the aircraft, please make this place your home. Your little seat, your little cabin. You know how to do that. Just by making peace, being kind, being gentle. Don't be angry when you're on the aircraft. Don't be like that story of the man with the parrot. Because on one flight, a man was sitting down on the aircraft and found a parrot sitting next to him in the aisle seat. He thought that was a bit strange, but, you know, this happens. And when the flight attendant came round, the parrot barked to the flight attendant, "Give me a whiskey, you bitch." Wow! Saying such a thing on an aircraft. And the guy said, "Can I please have a cup of tea, please? Just a cup of tea." And the flight attendant just went back to the galley and 2 minutes later brought the whiskey out for the parrot. She totally forgot this man's cup of tea. She said, "Look, I needed a cup of tea, please." And at that time, the parrot had actually downed the whiskey and shouted to the hostess again, "Another whiskey, you fat pig." Wow, that you can speak such things to these hostesses. And you know, the poor flight attendant was so discombobulated that she returned in a couple of minutes with another whiskey for the parrot, and still no tea, you know, for the traveller. So the traveller said, "What do you have to do to get a cup of tea?" So he tried the parrot method. And he said, "Get me a cup of tea, you fat idiot." And so the flight attendant disappeared, and a minute later, these two big male flight attendants came. They picked up this man and the parrot, and they threw them out the emergency exit at 30,000 feet. And as he was tumbling to his death, the parrot started flapping her wings and said, "You really complain a lot for someone who can't fly." So I must say, I read that in an Air Asia magazine. You know, that's what I do when I get bored on the aircraft. There's always some joke somewhere around. So that's my research. If you send me overseas on these flights, it's research. Research for more jokes. But don't be like that guy. Just because somebody else gets upset and calls someone a bitch or a stupid fat pig, that's no reason for you to do the same. You might get in trouble. But instead, make the place your home. Make peace. Be kind. Be gentle. So that's the advice, which people always ask. What do I do when I get home? Number one, you are home. You're always home. Where you are, wherever that happens to be, is your home. So what do I do in my home? You make a beautiful home. Make peace. Be kind. Be gentle. Wherever you happen to be. If you go back to the house, the address of which you put on your envelopes where you can be contacted, what you call your home. Make sure you make your home a real home. Make peace, be kind, be gentle there, wherever you happen to be. And that is the instructions on how to carry on meditating. And one day you come back home to here. And when you're back home here, it just feels always the same. It does feel the same type of room. They all look the same, the rooms. The same sort of hall you come to, the same caretaker and the same cook, the same stories, the same jokes. That's why it has a homely feeling when you come here. Oh, I'm back home. Yes, that same old joke. Yeah, that same old story. That's what it's like being home with the people and the stories you love. So don't be a complainer and a fault finder. And then you understand what you taught here. It's not the sitting down. It's not the walking. It's not the keeping quiet. It's why you're doing that. That's what meditation is. Where all that comes from. That's what you take home with you. That's what you do wherever home you happen to be. That is what meditation is. Not the jhanas, not the nimittas, but the skill in making peace, being kind, being gentle, laughing at the stupidity of life and of yourself, realizing there are no mistakes. It's just, you know, another reason to laugh at life. There's no such thing as life goes wrong. It all goes right. It just sometimes it's not exactly what we planned, that's all. That makes life interesting. And then wherever you go in life, you'll understand what meditation is. That is what you do when you leave. Easy. Hope you understand. Because time is up. That's all you're getting. Sadhu. 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 Okay. So now for those who still haven't had enough of me, There are some interviews coming up. They still have interviews. Yeah? You're looking at me like I'm not supposed to have interviews.
No.
Okay, we have some interviews and then we have lunch. Actually, not much lunch today. Just soup. Soup. We told the monks, I thought, shall we go on strike? Shall I refuse to give a talk this morning or interviews? No food, no talk. No, I like soup. So we have some soup because you guys are going to have a big meal this evening. So that's why they're having soup today. Beautiful, healthy soup. And after the soup, that's the time to... You're cleaning up? No one said anything. That's a worry, isn't it? Just let go, let go, let go. Yeah, there's dirt all over the place, but Ajahn Brahm said, make peace with it. You can't control cleanliness anyway, so just let it be dirty. No, please don't do that. So look after the place, because next week there's a retreat, isn't there? Next weekend. So more people are going to come in, so please make sure this place is welcoming for the people who come in here next Friday. And then afterwards, it's hanging out, and 2 o'clock, please come back. And 2 o'clock, we do the final meditation, the metta meditation, loving kindness, spreading this power throughout the whole world. Wow. That's coming. That's coming from 2 to 3. So have a nice morning, nice lunch, nice afternoon, and we'll see you at 2, yes. Okay, take care.